Thank you, Jeremy. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well this morning. If someone could bring me the little remote, I forgot to grab that. We're going to sing a song here this morning. Before I get started, I was going to lead Victory in Jesus, and so I was going to advance it myself, but I forgot to go grab the little remote. Thank you so much. All right. Let's sing this song together. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Well, happy Easter, everyone. We're glad you're here this morning. If this is your first time or if you're here visiting with us, please see yourself as an honored guest. We're glad that you're here with us this morning, and hopefully, please stick around afterward. We'd love to get to know you if we haven't met you already. We'd like to say hi to you and just welcome you. We're glad you're here. One of the things that I did want to point out to everyone, hopefully you saw it on last week's bulletin. There's a little blurb on the inside of this week's, but on the front of last week's, we had a whole article about what we're going to be doing on Wednesday evenings. And what we wanted to make sure people knew about was the food portion at the beginning. So at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings, we will have a time where we can come together and eat a meal together. Now, this meal is not required. You are not required to eat. Okay? But what we wanted to be able to do is to find a way to have food available for those that work and have school and after-school activities and things like that. So on the back table in the foyer at the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up list where you can sign up to order food. We're going to order food this week from McAllister's. We're going to have sandwiches, and there's more information about how much that costs. But that is a way where you don't have to have something ready to bring food and we can eat together. Again, eating is not required, and so you can come and not eat. You can bring your own food, however you'd like to do that. We just want to be together to fellowship and to enjoy that time midweek and encourage one another. And then our Bible study will start at 7. So let's say you don't want to come at all at 6:30 for the meal portion. You don't have to. Come at 7. Be with us and read and study the Bible with us at 7. It'll be a time of encouragement, a midweek lift up, to encourage you in the middle of the week when maybe your week has been tiring and you just need that encouragement. We're going to have a time together, and I want to encourage you to be here for that. But if you want to eat with us, you have to sign up today, because we're going to order that food, and we want to make sure that we give them time to make it. So please check that out if you want to eat with us this week. All right, that's out of the way. Okay, we're glad you're here. This is typically our Easter celebration, right? Happy Easter. This is when we think of this resurrection of Jesus. You know, the world sees this as a special day. And typically, we see a lot of different things. We see Easter eggs, and we have our egg hunts after our worship assembly. People will go to their family's home and have an Easter egg hunt for their family. And they'll make a special meal. Typically, it's ham or some sort of a pot roast or something like that. I'm probably making you all hungry. You're all ready for that food, right? But this is the time when we get together to do things like that. Also, this is a time when people, you know, they put together an Easter basket for their kids, and maybe it's got chocolate bunnies in it and things like that. People will typically wear pastel colors, right? This is my Easter shirt that I went and got specifically for today. Maybe you're wearing some sort of pastel color this morning to remember Easter. This is just that time of year when you wear colors like this. And that's typically how the world views this day. But also, we start to hear more and more about Jesus. And you start to see that in the world around us. And it's not necessarily always in a positive way, right? I know that when I think about Easter, those are the things I think about. But you might see at the check stand, at the store, you'll see things like National Geographic and Time Magazine and Newsweek. Those magazines will put out a special issue surrounding what they call the real Jesus. And typically, they will use it to write about the secular view of what Jesus' life was like. And sometimes they will try to discredit what the Bible says about Jesus. And there's all kinds of theories surrounding that. There are even churches that will use this day and actually give rise to doubt about the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection. Those churches will even minimize the claims that the Bible says, and they will go along with some of these same secular religious philosophies. Those churches will even say that it really doesn't matter if Jesus died and rose again, because what we really need to remember about Jesus is that he was a good man and he had some good ideas, and we need to live that way. And that the things that are written in here aren't really necessary anymore. Well, guess what? I bet there are churches like that here in Tulsa. You know, that's not just something that those of us that move to places like this from places like Oregon, it doesn't just happen there. It happens here too. Even down in the Bible Belt, there are churches here saying things like that. Is the empty tomb important? Was Jesus' death on the cross necessary? Does his resurrection have significance to our beliefs, to our faith, and to our salvation? Well, that's what I want us to look at this morning. Humans communicate using much more than their words, right? I like to move my hands around when I talk. It's just the way I am. I have to move my hands. We use signs and gestures and things like that that are generally universally understood when we talk to each other. One gesture when someone would hold up different finger signs like that are on the screen here, saying okay or peace or thumbs up, those typically mean something. They're significant in our communication. Well, there was one gesture used a long time ago with this symbol. And it didn't mean peace. It was a V sign. Many people would say, oh yeah, that's peace. People are saying, peace, man, peace out. No, this meant victory. This was a V for victory. And the origin of this sign is such. During World War II, former Belgian Minister of Justice Victor, now I'm going to butcher this name, Victor de Levelay, it's Belgian, served as a director of the BBC Radio's French broadcast, the French language Belgian broadcast. And during a January of 1941 program, Victor suggested that a good way for Belgians to build morale and stay positive during wartime would be to flash this V sign with their fingers, the first letter of the French word for victory. Victor believed it would unnerve the Nazis. He said, the occupier, by seeing this sign, always the same, infinitely repeated, would understand that he is surrounded, encircled by an immense crowd of citizens eagerly awaiting his first moment of weakness, watching for his first failure. Well, around this area, they would start to see these graffitied V's painted on walls, and they started showing up everywhere in Belgium. And people were doing that. They would show this sign to each other. And then in other French-speaking areas that heard this BBC France French broadcast, they included the Netherlands and northern France. Well, by July of 1941, it was so widespread and understood that even English Prime Minister Winston Churchill started to use this sign himself. He started to use it when he was photographed or in speeches. And often when you see a picture of Winston Churchill, he will be making the V with his fingers. And it worked. It not only brought up the morale of everyone, but by doing so, it truly brought victory. This was a small gesture that brought good news to the Allied forces who saw it displayed, and it brought fear to the enemies. Well, today I want to share some good news about a different victory with you. And we all need good news, right? With all the negatives that are going on in our world, with wars, with anger and hatred, crime and terrorism, as well as these difficult economic situations and bitterness spread across the political parties, with social issues, religious conviction, we need some good news. Today, this Easter Sunday, we're going to have this opportunity to hear the best news that we could ever hear. This news about the resurrection of Jesus. This is something that the world wants to hear about. Whether people will admit it or not, hearing that Jesus was raised from the dead, raised from that tomb after 3 days, it is intriguing, and if it's true, it's great news. Right? Well, we're in the midst of a year-long theme here at 29th and Yale, where we're talking about what it means to walk with Christ. This is our theme this year of walking with Christ, and we're using the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 to talk about what it means to walk with Christ. And he preached that sermon, that great sermon, to bring the people's minds and hearts back to the central message that Jesus had for his people. What do disciples need to hear about in order to live a life seeking God? Well, Jesus had the answer to that question, and he preaches it over those three chapters in the book of Matthew. But this morning, we're going to take a break from the Sermon on the Mount to actually step out of that specific sermon and into what the resurrection means for today. So let's turn to our main text this morning. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I encourage you to turn over there. We're going to read a significant amount of this passage, verses 1 through 28. And so it's not going to be up on the screen. It's a long passage, and so hopefully you'll get your Bibles out and turn over there, or maybe you got your Bible app on your phone. turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's read that together. This is from Paul's letter to Corinth. And he says this in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, then he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this passage in 1 Corinthians, this first letter to the church at Corinth, he wanted the reader to understand the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. This is probably the definitive text on Jesus' resurrection outside of the actual gospel accounts. This text here in 1 Corinthians 15 is deeply important to lay out the gospel of Jesus, the good news that we speak about so fondly when we talk about Jesus. That gospel that we talk about, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised again, all according to the scriptures. The resurrection itself, it is this crowning moment of the work of atonement provided by our Lord. But why is this good news? Why do we talk about this as good news? I want to be real with you this morning and not just give you a whole bunch of statistics and data about the apologetic evidence behind Jesus' death. You know, this is something that you've probably heard so many times pointed out. It has been played out so many times. We can actually look up this information on Google and see evidence. And, you know, someday I may go into a class or another lesson that talks about all those evidences and things like that. But I'm haunted. I'm haunted by some of the things that I have actually read online this week. And it changed the course of this sermon that you're hearing me speak this morning. This is not what I was originally going to preach on. I had some of these things in mind. I was going to recite some of the evidences and show you how we can prove that this is true and it all happened. But again, I'm haunted. So I scrapped the whole sermon and I started over. I almost decided to stand here without any notes to just talk to you for a few minutes. And it might have only lasted about maybe 10 minutes or so, and we'd be almost wrapping up by this point. I know some of you are thinking, yes, are you going to do that? Please do that this morning. I'm ready for hunting eggs. I'm ready to go eat my ham. Well, no, I'm going to do a little bit of both. You know, I think back several years, and again, I want to be real with you this morning. I think back several years when I was teaching a class for our young adult ministry in Oregon. And I was going through this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and talking about the gospel of Jesus and why it's such good news. And we read the passage. And one of the young men in the class, he kind of raised his hand and he said, you know, I understand that text, and I get, you know, that that's kind of the good churchy answer to what the gospel is. He said, but it really doesn't do all that much for me. It's not very practical for how I live my life. And he said, I get the text, but why is it good news? Well, and then this week, as I was looking online and reading people's posts about Easter and, you know, Good Friday and why it's such a good thing, and I had someone post about that, and she said how she had been lamenting a little bit about the story of Abraham and Isaac and how she didn't see that it was very fair of God to ask Abraham to sacrifice his son, to kill his son, Isaac. And if she was in his place, how she knows for sure, she probably wouldn't have done it. If she was in Abraham's spot, she would have said, no, I'm not doing that, God. She doesn't know how God would do that and why he would be willing to sacrifice his own son for the sins of the world. How this didn't seem like good news to her. And how in Luke 14, verse 29 says, that we should love God even more than our family, our kids and our family. But she says, I love my kids so much. This is hard. And I think she hits on something big here. I love my kids. Do I love God more than my kids? But these are two examples of things that made me think this week. And it made me kind of sad. You know, do we truly understand what the gospel, the good news is? This is the heart of the gospel, good news of Jesus. Why is this good news? Why does the resurrection of Jesus even matter? We read in our scripture reading this morning Mark's gospel account of the resurrection. Let's read that again. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 15. Look over at Mark chapter 16. Let's look at this again. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out, and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Even for these women in this passage here, they went to the tomb, they found it empty, and it was not good news to them. They were surprised that he was gone. In some accounts, they were upset that the stone was rolled away. The disciples, when these ladies went running to tell them, they didn't believe it. All of Jesus' talk about being raised from the dead, it fell on deaf ears. And it made them wonder what had happened. They were scared. Paul recounts all that happened in the Gospels this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He talks about the gospel, what it is, and why it's good news. I want us to go through this and look at this, because maybe you're asking yourself, why is this good news? Well, we want to solve that answer for you this morning. Well, first, Paul reminds them of everything that he had ever said. He says, "This is the gospel that I preached. This is the gospel you received. And it's on this gospel that you took a stand for Jesus. On this gospel, you are saved. Don't believe this in vain." Paul wants them to remember why they became followers of Jesus to begin with. Isn't this the thing that we all need to be reminded of? Isn't this our first step? For those of us who have doubts and fears, remember why we believed to begin with. Think about the way that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, why you were baptized. It is because of these messages that you've been taught about Jesus for so many years. We often go through life and we get caught up in the mundane things. School happens and then work. There's chores around the house to be done. We have to maintain our everyday living. It's easy for us to forget why we followed Jesus to begin with and to allow that doubt to enter our minds, to creep in when we're weary, when we're tired and stressed about life. Paul's message to the people of Corinth and to us is, don't forget. Remember this. Remember why. Well, second, what did Paul preach to them? What was the foundation of Paul's preaching? It was about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul reminds them that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, then raised for the dead. This was all according to the Scriptures. All of the Old Testament was building up to this moment about the coming Messiah, how he would do the very things that they had heard about, and for some of the things that these people that he's writing to had even witnessed. And Paul recounts this. He says he died on that cross. He says in many of his sermons and letters that he was the one who put Jesus there. Paul did. Well, at least people like him, right? Paul was the one who persecuted those Christians, those people who had witnessed these things. Paul held the cloaks of the people who stoned Stephen, who was just preaching this message about Jesus. He held those cloaks so they could kill him. Paul persecuted those Christians up until Jesus appeared to him, struck him blind. It was Jesus who asked Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Paul said, this same Jesus who died for your sins, he was raised from the dead. Paul says, I heard his voice. Paul went from this lost persecutor to a found follower, and he wanted everyone to know this message. Well, thirdly, Paul says that this Jesus who we saw die, who we saw buried, well, he appeared to a bunch of people, to many people. First, he appeared to Cephas, the rock, Simon Peter. And then he appeared to these 12. And then he appeared to 500 all at the same time. They all saw him together. And then to James and other apostles, whom we don't know who's counted in that second group, but then to Paul. He says, the least of them, the least of them all. If this Jesus has been raised, surely someone saw him. Well, Peter did, right? Peter saw him. He appeared to him. Well, but Peter must have been in on it, right? He's in on the ruse. He's in on the trick. Well, then he appeared to the 12. Well, those 12 were in on it too, right? It's easy to scheme with 12 people and make this story a plausible story. Well, then he appeared to over 500 people in one place at the same time. This is not something that anyone in that group could slip up. If they do, it's all over. The story's over. It only takes one skeptic in the room to say, I'm not going along with this. And then it doesn't happen. Only one person. Right? Well, that didn't happen. This 500 didn't do that because it happened. There were others that saw him too. James, the other apostles, Paul. Why is this message of the gospel good news? What makes this good news? Well, it's good news because it tells us that God loves us. We've heard this message over and over again in our lives that God loves you. He loves us. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I might not be able to allow my Son to die for other people. I have a hard enough time loving God when I love my family so dearly. Goodness, I cried when my dog had to be put down. I sobbed like a baby. I am not embarrassed to say that, but if you were in the room with me, I would have been embarrassed. I blubbered like a baby. How would I react if that was my son, my child? But God, our Father and Creator, allowed his Son to willingly give his life for our sins. Because we are sinful, because we do bad things, Jesus gave his life for us. God didn't send his Son here to tell us how bad we are. He came to tell us how good he is, how good God is, that the entire world might be saved through him. This is for everyone who believes. What a gift. What a gift that is. And that's just one reason why it's good news. Another reason is that it tells us that the resurrection was for us. This wasn't some unexpected decision. God didn't have to wait until 33 AD to look at humanity and say, well, I guess I need to intervene for you now. Jesus, I know I sent you there, but now I have to kill you. I have to sacrifice you because these people won't listen to you. No, this was planned from the beginning. This same resurrection that raised Jesus, It will be the same resurrection that we will receive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the passage we read, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then our faith is pointless." You know, us being here this morning is pointless. What is our faith in? Is it just another good man who did good things? Do we have churches dedicated to just that? You know, is our church just dedicated to a good man who did some good things? Another good man who seemingly was kind and nice to people and said we should act the same way? I mean, he said we should do that, right? Don't get me wrong. But I know lots of nice people. I don't worship those people, though. If Christ had not been raised, then I would still be lost. Still be bound to sacrifice to God the way that they did with the old covenant. You know, we read about the Passover this morning in our Bible class. We would still be doing that every week. Still be bound to sacrifice for God the way they did. Still be bound for waiting for a Messiah to come. If I can even still believe that after all that time. My faith would be futile. I would not have the same hope for my own resurrection of my soul when Jesus returns again. That's good news. Because of Jesus, we have that hope. Well, thirdly, it tells us that God has won, that Jesus has the victory. That's why we sang that song, "Victory in Jesus," before the sermon this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Satan is already defeated. His reign over me is done. I don't have to obey the devil or his schemes. That happens now. God won. God has put his enemies under his feet, the last enemy being death. Death is no longer to be feared because we have hope in the resurrection. We can rejoice because the day will come when death is defeated and I don't have to be afraid anymore. Those ladies at the tomb were afraid. They continued their rituals of death and anointing a dead body. But that angel of the Lord who was sitting at the tomb, what did he say? "Do not be afraid. He is risen. He is not here." We no longer need to fear death because Jesus defeated death in the resurrection. He has the victory. Paul, later in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we didn't read this portion here, starting in verse 54. It says, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I do see the good news. It may seem like only something in the future to think about. I like my life now, but guess what? This affects my life now. Because of the resurrection, Jesus has already won this victory, and I can celebrate that now. And that's what we do on Easter. I can celebrate the truth of victory over sin in my life, and I can live in this now. I don't have to be afraid of the negative things that I see and hear about in our world. I don't fear a lack of money to pay bills or a lack of food. I don't fear the stresses that I have and how to raise my kids or whether I'm going to have a job. I don't worry about making mistakes and sinning because if I believe this truth, if I believe these eyewitnesses, and then all of this is true. And if this is true, then I share in Jesus' victory. God forgives us, and he gives us that victory in verse 57. What good news. Good news. Jesus is indeed this risen Lord. You can either reject him, but you cannot ignore him. What Jesus did in rising from the dead, it demands a response from us. How will you respond to the risen Lord and King of the universe? My prayer this morning is that you believe and accept this good news. And if you have not taken on Jesus as your Lord and your King, you can do that today. Don't leave here today without thinking about your life, whether you are ready to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you've lapsed, there's great news. Remember, our sins have already been taken care of by Jesus. The reason that death is bad news is because of the sting of sin. We read that in this passage here. The hope of life, though, is in the victory of salvation in Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is respond in repentance to be baptized, and you too have that victory. That's why we sing this song, Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. This is good news. This is our good news. We have that good news every day. You know, we're going to have an invitation song here in just a moment. What we invite you to do each week is to come, and if there's some issue in your life that you need to put behind you, we want to pray with you here this morning. I'll be right here standing up here. One of our elders is going to stand on this side, and you just come to one of us, and we will pray with you. If you need to be baptized this morning for your salvation, we can do that. If there's other needs in your life, maybe you've forgotten about this good news. Maybe you've been skeptical about some of these things. We want to pray with you, help give you that assurance. Whatever your need is this morning, we're going to sing this song of invitation. Let's stand together and sing.